It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League, presented by United Dairy Farmers.
The Reds are on the radio.
The Hot Stove League is brought to you by the Holy Grail Banks Tavern and Grill, Norcom, your audiovisual information technology solutions provider, Norcom.com, JTM Food Group. Let's create great dishes together. Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and by MSA Design. Design, create, innovate. The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Kelsey Chevrolet, home of lifetime powertrain protection and guaranteed credit approval. From our family to yours for life. Visit KelseyChev.com. RNL Carriers, your global transportation provider. Visit RLC.com today. And by United Dairy Farmers, UDF now makes donuts in our new family bakery from our own recipe.
The Reds are on the radio.
Now the Hot Stove League on the Reds Radio Network on 700 WLW.
Welcome into the Reds Hot Stove League. Jim Day is mobile. He is here in studio this week, recovered fully from some car trouble last week. Jim, welcome, and great to have you back in the studio with us here on the Reds Hot Stove League with Jim Day. I am Tommy Thrall.
You made it sound last week like it was like, you know, the my pet messed up my homework. You know,
yeah, well, yeah. There may be a part of me that kind of felt like maybe one of your pups bit into your tire at your request.
I'll send you the bill I got for fixing my car.
No, only giving you a hard time, of course, as I'm required to do. Yeah. Glad to have you.
To be here. If I was any better, I'd be Tommy Thrall.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But tell you what, finally some good news from the commissioner's office that we'll get to talk about a little bit later on in the show. We'll dive into this a little bit more, but it sounds like everything's going to start on time.
Well, let's hope so. Fingers crossed on that. Everyone needs it. We need some normalcy, right? We need to at least try to have a normal 2021 as we possibly can. Also announcing that there's going to be a limited amount of fans that are in the stands, and the Reds are on board with that. In fact, the Reds have had plans. They've been working behind the scenes for a long time of this contingency. If we get this amount of fans, we're going to seat them there. They're ready to rock and roll. They just need the go-ahead from MLB and obviously Governor DeWine. So they're ready to go.
Yeah, that's very encouraging from the Reds' perspective as well, just to get some folks in the building.
Yeah.
That even if it's not close to capacity, that there's just a different energy when there's people sitting in the stands. And baseball's not like football. You know, football's once a week. You only get a handful of home games. And so when you have a football game that's a quarter capacity, that feels weird. A baseball, not to say that small crowds are great, but that's not that unheard of in baseball. Yeah. It happens. And it's just great to have that energy at the ballpark.
You know, at this point, I'm even looking forward to someone yelling out, "You stink, Jim Day!" I want to hear that.
Good. Encourage that. That'd be great.
No, that means that fans are in the stands.
Yeah, it'll be refreshing to see folks in the ballparks once we get going. And like I said, everything seems to be on schedule. That coming from the commissioner's office. On the show this week, newly acquired Art Warren, who has a very fascinating story, pitched at UC.
Ohio guy.
Ohio native, and the Reds acquired him last week. He'll be on the show. TJ Antone will be on the show shortly as well. And, boy, what a rookie season TJ Antone had. I think he's going to be a guy that will really factor into this Reds pitching staff one way or another, whether that's in the rotation or he could be a very key piece in the bullpen as well.
Another guy that has a story, and it's more hard-nosed baseball of how he increased his velocity, a very interesting story. And I don't want to say coming out of nowhere, but close last year. And I think once we get him on the air, those that have not listened to him do an interview, listen to him talk, he is a very, very likable guy. And you'll find out. He fits in that clubhouse perfectly. He has the ultimate confidence in his game at a very young age. He is 27 years of age, but as a rookie last year, when you watch baseball for so long, you can immediately tell, okay, does he belong? Does he fit in? Is he standing out that, I don't know? Immediately, you can look at him and say, you know what? He's got it.
And that goes back to spring training and watching him interact with guys in the clubhouse. I mean, you see him in the clubhouse, and it's just instantly, well, who's that guy? And then he fit in. This is a rookie fitting into the big league clubhouse in spring training. I thought that was very impressive. And that's one of those things where it just kind of – it you notice that. And it's not something that is really – it's not a trivial thing. I think that matters when guys just have that it factor.
And other guys, for some reason, back in the day, this never used to happen because you kind of – they ease guys in. They work in the bullpen first and then become part of the rotation. Guys like him, I should say, the highly talented guys are obviously going to go right into the rotation. But here's a guy that was a starter most of his life, and then all of a sudden, hey, we need you to work out of the bullpen. No problem. It didn't affect him whether he was coming out of the bullpen, didn't matter what inning, and didn't matter if he started. He was the same guy. So it's one of those things that you can't coach, you can't teach. You either have it or you don't. He has it. And if you have that base to work with, then the sky's the limit with the talent that he has physically.
And another reason to have a little confidence in this pitching staff, even though it may look a little different this year. He's another guy. And then we'll see what the future has in store with Art Warren. And like I said, it'll be fun to talk to him. We're still working on getting TJ Antone. He'll be on with us momentarily. But while we have some time, let's get right into it and talk about the commissioner's comment. It was sent out. It was a tweet that he said basically.
Commissioner tweets?
Well, I saw it on Twitter.
The office of
the commissioner tweet. I don't think Rob's got a Twitter.
Well, that's a good thing. if you do, Mr. Commissioner, don't look at the comments.
Right. Probably save him a lot of grief.
He should go on there and just say, you know, don't at me.
That'd be great.
No.
No?
No, that would not be good. No.
Okay. Anyways, he basically came out this week and told teams to prepare to start on time, start for spring training as scheduled, and for a 162-game season. And you touched on it a little bit ago that I think we are starving not just in baseball but in life in general to have a sense of normalcy, and this is a huge step in that direction. And I think the other thing that it does is this helps teams plan for the season. You're not going to go out on a limb. You're not going to stick your neck out with some possible financial constraints that could affect teams again in 2021. You're not going to be, you're not going to take the same risk that you would if you know that it's going to be a normal season. Now that you know everything's on target for everything to be normal, now you can start to make some moves and plan your season. Because if you're a team that lost a boatload of money last year, and most of the teams did, that's going to affect the risk that you're willing to take with some unknowns and uncertainty going into the season. So this could be a big step in securing some of the offseason moves that we've been waiting to see.
Yeah, plus you got to set the calendar. You know, you've got to get there's so many free agents that are left unsigned and teams sitting back. Okay, what's going to happen? How many games are going to play? If we're not going to play till the summer, let's say. We don't really need to move right now. But if you set a date, listen, we're rocking and rolling on this date, which this is when we were going to start. So we're going to start on time. Let's get everything rolling. Let's sign your players. Let's plan for the season. Let's get it going. I was glad to see the commissioner do it. Now, there's a lot of things that are going to go into, okay, what are the details? Are the protocols going to be the same? Are you going to have tiers? Are you going to have no one in the clubhouse? Are you going to do all interviews via Zoom? What's your roster limit going to be? Are you going to have more than 25 men again this year? So those are details that need to be worked out. But the starting, you've got to start with, all right, when are we starting?
Right.
And that's been set.
Yeah, it's a huge hurdle that they've already jumped over to get things going for the 2021 season. I think the other thing that they have to figure out at some point, what are the rules going to look like? Is there going to be a DH? Are you going to stick with the extra inning rule? Like you mentioned, the roster limitations. What are those going to look like? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors. The DH is a big one, too.
Huge.
I mean, that is we got to get this figured out. And I think right now, the longer
it goes,
it's
a bargaining chip, man. I've been saying,
I know,
now they may have to cash that chip this year, But I'm telling you, it's a bargaining chip.
But at this point, I think the longer and the closer you get to opening day, the more you just have to assume, hey, look, there's not going to be a DH in the National League. That's at least how I view it. Do you view it any differently?
No. I mean, again, the number of games played, that was the contention with the players last year. We want to play 100 games, or what was it, 120, whenever they started talking. And then it came down to 60 games, which made the Players Association unhappy because they're paid for the amount of games they play. So if you're saying you're going to play 162 games, that is huge for the players. So now we have a basis set. Okay, we're going to play 162, so let's talk about the other things.
We'll see what happens. And I keep looking at this, and I feel like I've heard contradicting things on who benefits the most by the National League using a designated hitter. Because you can look at it from the player's perspective. That adds an extra guy. It's going to extend careers. That means more money for players in theory. So I would think that that would benefit the players.
Oh, big time. The players have wanted a universal DH for a long time. That's 15 more high-paying jobs. And it's pitchers that, you know, there's very few pitchers that like to hit. It changes everything. Now, the good news is if they don't have a DH, or if they do, the Reds seemingly have guys that can fit into that position. It's the same problem. I don't want to say problem. It's the same situation they had going into last year with, all right, who's going to get the playing time in the outfield? Whoever is not starting in the field that day, well, you're going to be the DH most likely.
And Jesse Winker did a great job in that role last year. And the other advantage of it, you can spell guys, give the day off, half day off by using them as the DH.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of advantages to that. I have to confess, as somebody that was not necessarily on board with the National League having the DH, I really didn't mind it last year, to be completely honest.
I was shocked at the lack of production, not only on the Reds team, but league-wide from the designated hitters. I was stunned that it didn't add more offense.
I think there are a lot of guys that realize that's a little more challenging than what you'd imagine from a mental aspect. So
there's no doubt. I mean, these guys, the best hitters that you're going to consider as a designated hitter have always played the field.
Right.
They're the superstars on the team. They grew up playing shortstop, most likely. So they've always been two-way players. So it is a very hard adjustment to have to get up for four at-bats when that's all you're doing. That's it. That at-bat, that's all you're doing during the game.
Still trying to get TJ Antone. Hopefully I have him after the break. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF on the Reds Radio Network. Welcome back to the Reds Hot Stove League. Phone lines are open. 513-749-7000. Pound 700 for AT&T customers and toll free 1-800 the big one.
With a one. The big number one.
The big one. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
1-800-843-2441.
Exactly.
I almost did an extra four. Threw an extra four there. Whoops. Anyways, talking some Reds baseball. It's the Reds Hot Stove League presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF with Jim Day. I am Tommy Thrall. Thanks so much for listening to us and joining us on this Wednesday. Feel free to join the show. Love to hear what you want to talk about. What are the Reds going to do at shortstop? That's a popular topic. Of course, we talked about that a little bit last week as well. How are the Reds going to solve and fill some of the holes that they've got going into this 2021 season? I think they'll certainly have to get creative. The Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, presented by Dinsmore, is proud to present the Johnny Bench Home Run Collection. Each of the 389 baseballs are autographed and numbered by Johnny and delivered in a deluxe display frame with a photo collage and certificate of ownership. Quantities remain limited. Details are available now at redsmuseum.org. Talking about the Reds and their offseason, certainly rumors abound. And you know, I really, truth be told, haven't seen a whole lot of people hitting the panic button on some of these rumors. I think the one that had people the most concerned would be the possibility of maybe trading Sonny Gray. I see that as being very unlikely. The other one that's out there is the possible trade of somebody like Eugenio Suarez. And you make that move and you're starting to see this pop up more and more. If that's a move that gets made, I think you probably see Moustakas move back to third. And then maybe you have the money to go, maybe you have the money then to go sign a big name free agent at short. I mean, let me rephrase this. Perhaps a D.D. Gregorius and Andrelton Simmons, a Marcus yeah. Simeon, maybe.
Right. Those are the guys that are the free agent shortstops that head that class. And D.D. Gregorius is certainly a big name. And a former Red, he would be very intriguing. Simeon would be intriguing as well. I do think if they had a choice that Garcia needs a little more time in the minor leagues. He was I don't want to say they rushed him. The situation was as it is in 2020, but he was overmatched at right. the plate and overmatched badly. So we need to refine it there. He needs to have a better eye at the plate, not chase balls out of the zone. I mean, they weren't even throwing him strikes. And he was striking out. So I still think his future is bright, but you need a buffer. You need a stopgap until he's ready.
You got to find somebody. Kyle yeah. Farmer would probably be that guy as it stands right now, unless you find a way to yeah. fill that hole. Let's go to the phones. Aaron in Dayton. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how we doing tonight, guys?
Great.
So I had a question. I was wondering what you guys, like, I think Castellanos and Shogo are locked in. Are we still assuming Nick Senzel is like 100% a go for opening day?
Yeah, well, thanks for the phone call. I think so, yeah. I mean, there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't be the guy as long as he's healthy. He will be the starting center fielder, and I think that's your primary outfield, those three guys.
Yeah, okay.
Over Winker?
Any thoughts on the catching situation?
Well, thanks for the question.
I think
appreciate it. I think you'll see that as a platoon, maybe not a straight platoon, but I think for the most part you'll see Tucker in there on a regular basis. It could also come down to pitchers. Who works best with what pitchers? It might be that kind of a mm-hmm. situation, but I would think it would, what, maybe a 60-40 split there at catcher?
You know, that's going to be interesting to see. It was a platoon situation with Casale and Barnhart. You got the lefty-righty bat, and you still have that lefty-righty bat with Stevenson being your right-handed bat. But I think Tucker will get primarily most of the duties. I mean, you don't want, Stevenson not to get playing time at all. If there's a DH, Stevenson would be a guy that could be in the designated hitter's role, especially if you have a Kyle Farmer who's an emergency catcher as well. But I think Tucker will get primary most of the time, at least to start.
Right. You mentioned Winker in the outfield. It's a crowded outfield. There's yeah. no question about that. Yeah. Jesse Winker will still play a lot. I think if you were to pick a primary outfield, I still think it's the three I mentioned. I think it's Shogo in left, Senzel in center, Castellanos in right. But there, Winker will play. He will get in. And how that'll all play out, I don't know how David Pell's going to manage that.
Well, if Shogo is performing like he did at the end of last year, where he was an on-base percentage machine, they need a leadoff hitter. That's still one of the question marks. We talk about shortstop and who's going to get the playing time in the outfield. Who's going to lead off is another large question, and that might work to his favor.
And he was the bat that the Reds were missing all of last season. Yeah. I mean, at the end, he was the guy that could slap a ball down the line. I mean,
Winker's gone, man. That August he had last year was off the charts.
Well, so. His numbers took a huge step forward last year.
Yeah.
So, no question. We'll still try to get TJ Antone, but we might have to push him back
a week. That's what you get when you talk up a guy.
I know. Art Warren's next. The Reds Hot Stove League, presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF on the Reds Radio Network. Welcome back into the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF. We'll take your phone calls, 513-749-7000. #700 for AT&T customers. I'm so accustomed to the pound sign being a hashtag, I almost want to say #700.
Oh, geez.
For AT&T customers.
I have no comment on that.
You have a lot of comments. You're just refraining from actually saying them. But to get this show back on track, let's welcome in the newly acquired Art Warren. Art, thanks so much for taking some time to try to put this train back on the tracks. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, it's our pleasure. I tell you what, you have a remarkable story, and I want to jump right into it because you pitched at UC. You're throwing gas there, but things just never got on track. You weren't having the success you wanted to. Then you get shut down and miss a year because of Tommy John. What was going through your mind at that point? I mean, I would have to imagine that the big leagues and the possibility of ever pitching on a big league mound were the furthest thing from your mind at that point.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of things going through my head. At one point throughout that injury process, I was told that I would never pitch again, period. So you can imagine what kind of stress and that added to that whole situation. So, yeah, it was definitely a course of trials and tribulations, that's for sure.
Did you enjoy your time at UC? What did you think of Cincinnati?
I loved it. That's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to go to Cincinnati. I like the city vibe that they have. Campus is awesome, and they've done so much more to it now since I was down there, I guess, 8 years ago, which is weird to say that. The football games are great. The baseball stadium is top-notch. I think they just redid the turf again. Facilities are great. My teammates were unbelievable. I still have a really good relationship with a lot of them. I love my time down there. I think it was a great fit for me just on the baseball side of things. It needed a little adjustment.
So were you dialed into that Georgia game?
I was. You know, I am more of a Buckeye fan, but I'm definitely still keeping tabs on Cincinnati and, you know, former Buckeye coach Luke Fickell down there. I mean, it's just unfortunate that the Bearcats don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Well, for college football, it was kind of a tough bowl season for you then from that regard. But we don't need to get into that. We'll keep
right.
Talking some baseball for you.
He's a Missouri guy.
Didn't even play. Missouri didn't even play their bowl game. So I want to talk to you about when you found out that the Reds had selected you, basically. What did that mean when you heard that the Reds wanted you? I mean, what was your reaction like?
Well, I was stunned, to be honest with you, just because having a little bit better understanding of the whole DFA process and the order of waiver claims and knowing that all the American League teams would have to go before any National League team. I mean, it definitely did run through my head that, you know, it would be cool to get claimed by the Reds, but I just kind of had a feeling the possibility of that was unlikely just because of the long list that they had. You know, the All American League teams first, and then a few National League teams before them. So, when I got called by the Rangers front office telling me that they had worked out a trade with Cincinnati, I was in shock, and I was like absolutely stunned and excited. I couldn't get off the phone with him fast enough to start calling my family and friends and let them know that I was coming home.
Well, you actually you made your major league debut against the Reds, so coming full circle a little bit. You know, saw you pitch against the Reds, obviously. I think it was only a third of an inning. But the video I've looked at you, man, you got some pitches that the ball just drops off. I mean, it just drops off the table. We know what you've got. If you were going to self-assess yourself to the fans, what's your repertoire? What's your velocity right now? What's your out pitch?
I would definitely say, I'll answer that in reverse order. My out pitch is definitely my slider. And then backtracking to what you said, I think it's a perfect fit that Cincinnati was interested in me. You know, the whole vibe of Spincinnati. You know, that's what I like to do. I like to spin the ball. I'm going to come in Cincinnati, and I'm going to throw heavy sliders and curveballs and finish with my fastball at the top of the zone. My fastball can run anywhere from 94 to 99. And on good days, you know, I'll hover right around 96, 97, 98. So, I like to use that fastball late and try to have some true ride behind it at the top of the zone. And I love to spin the ball.
That is like Derek Johnson. That's like the model. Like
right.
your fastball, play it up in the zone with a lot of spin and then spin it the rest of the time. That is, you're going to fit right in.
Exactly.
And how much of a factor is that for you? When you obviously you're from Ohio, so that plays into it some, but also how much of the fact that the Reds are doing a lot with pitchers right now, and Derek Johnson has the reputation that he has. How much of all of that are you looking forward to working with and getting to Cincinnati to work with some of these folks?
Well, I think it's an absolute blessing. I mean, like you said yourself, DJ is his name. The amount of times that I've heard his name thrown at me since a trade has been remarkable. His reputation, I think he's got to be the hottest pitching coach in all of MLB right now. What he's done with the Red staff, I think it's a great opportunity for me at this point in my career. I'm super excited. I think this is, like I said a few times, this is the best case scenario, I think, for me to get in the mix with the Reds and what they're doing over there. And just, I'm so excited to see how they're going to just take me and develop me and, you know, see what they want to do with my arsenal.
Well, Art, certainly appreciate the time. Before I let you go, we're certainly hoping that we see you at some point in Cincinnati with the big league club. So what do you feel like you need to do to make that happen?
I would just say just take care of my own business. So what I mean by that is control what I can control. Just head out to Goodyear and get as many outs as I possibly can and not focus so much on the external things and just kind of stay, you know, in my lane, and the rest will take care of itself.
Certainly appreciate the time. Wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll see you down in Arizona sooner rather than later.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Art.
Art Warren joining us on the Reds Hot Stove League. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next. It's the Reds Hot Stove League presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF on the Reds Radio Network. With Jim Day, I'm Tommy Thrall. Welcome back into the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF. Sign your son or daughter up for the coolest club in all of Reds country for only $30. Your child can become a Reds Heads Kids Club member and get an exclusive backpack, jersey, sunny gray bobblehead, free Reds tickets, and access to members-only activities. Purchase today at reds.com/kidsclub. Taking your phone calls now, 513-749-7000, #700 for AT&T customers. And let's go to Ron over in Indiana. What's up, Ron?
Yes, how are you this evening?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I know the minor leagues took a hit, not only with COVID, but Major League Baseball wanted to drop a number of affiliates. Will the Dayton Dragons be still affiliated with the Reds?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, they will. In fact, they're moving up.
Yep.
So they will now be the Reds High A affiliate.
Good. That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Arizona.
Oh, boy, that is an understatement for the two of us.
Yeah. Yes.
Jim,
well, thank you very
much. I'm used to living out of a suitcase.
Thanks, Ron.
So.
Yeah, I'm used to getting on an airplane and traveling and the whole thing. And I mean, look at you. You make Casper look tan.
Listen. Just because you replaced the guy that used to drop lines like that doesn't mean you need to continue the tradition.
I didn't use his line, but you do. You're the one that said, we were sitting out there in the hall talking before the show started. You go, oh, man, I need some sun. So you're telling me.
Just for vitamin D, not for my looks. I have no shot. It is what it is. I know my limitations.
Yeah, well.
Okay, if you want some sunshine and me to have a tan, we'll go with it. But I just need the sunshine for the vitamin D and the mental aspect of it.
That's good. Yeah. Well, it's the sun's good for your soul, too.
It took like 3 weeks for the sun to come out here.
At least. You're telling me that it was the... I'm starting to wonder if it shined here at Cincinnati in the wintertime.
It does. Sometimes.
Let's go to our next caller. TJ Antone is joining us now. TJ, thanks so much for calling in. Where are you calling from tonight?
Man, I'm in Texas right now.
Oh, okay. Well, look at this. We got a long distance listener.
Yeah.
TJ. Well, appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much for the time. Talk to us about your first season. I gotta hear about it because first of all, it's a weird season. You make your debut. You don't only have success out of the bullpen, but then you get moved to the rotation. And you have success there. What was your rookie season like?
Man, it was interesting to say the least. You know, I went to spring training, you know, I call it 1.0 and 2.0, kind of differentiate the two. But I went to spring training 1.0, just, you know, looking for an opportunity. I just got put on the 40-man roster. And, you know, I just wanted to show up and show some of the big league coaches that hadn't seen me yet, you know, what I'm all about. And I came in there, and I was probably feeling better than I had in the past. I had worked really hard that offseason to, you know, just be better and throw harder and worked on my craft a little bit. And it showed up in spring training, and then we left. And I had got moved down, like, the day before everything kind of shut down. So I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, you know, going to AAA and, you know, just doing the same thing. Like, you know, I'll find my way in there this year. I'll get an opportunity or something and hope to, you know, do the best, you know, do as best as I can for it. And came back to spring training 2.0, and they told me, like, hey, we need you kind of in a hybrid role if you are going to be in the big leagues this year as a starter and reliever and be able to go kind of back and forth. So they had me working both, working up as a starter and then also throwing my bullpens at higher intent to see if I could recover, you know, well. And I felt great, and I felt like I did well in spring training 2.0. And went into the season, and, you know, it was weird for all of us, so we're all learning and trying to figure out, like, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? Nope, can't do that. You know, I guess we'll – and then, of course, a lot of complaining, you know, because it wasn't – not for me, though, because, you know, I didn't really know what a normal big league year was like, but all the other guys were like, man, this is different and that's different. I'm just like, hey, this is great. I love it. So, I mean, it was fun. You know, I got the opportunity. I got the call. I went to – we had we went to Prasco, was our backup site, and I got the call on the second day of season and, you know, hustled down to the field and didn't end up having my debut until, like, I think the third or fourth game of the season. Reddit came in after Miley, and, you know, I just wanted to get in there and do the best that I could. And I always tell people when I was running in, on my debut, when I was running in from the outfield, I had, like, almost passed out. I felt really lightheaded. And so I had to, like, stop at the cut of the grass and, like, really slow down my breathing. And I think I warmed up in, like, two pitches. Like,
wow.
I was probably throwing harder in my warm-up pitches than I was in the actual game. I was against the Cubs, and I knew that the lineup was good and that team was really good. And you can't really think about any of that. You just have to take what you have and take it to the table and play with it. You know, it's you don't get to choose your cards, but you know, you can choose how you play them. And I set guys up good. I threw well, and I learned a lot from that first outing. I was like, wow, that was different. That was a big league roster that I just faced. And then I had a lot of good guys on my side that were walking with me and teaching me, like Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer, and then the whole bullpen, like Amir and Lorenzen, and they were all just kind of walking with me and talking to me and teaching me, like, hey, you know, we should do this, you should do this, like, what do you think about this? And it was really cool to learn from, you know, all those years of experience, and along with, you know, DJ and Caleb Cotham and Lee Tunnell, and it's really good. And David Bell's, you know, just absolutely incredible manager. I love playing for him. So, I mean, I can't ask for a better team to play for or an organization. And I'm just very, very grateful that they gave me that opportunity this year.
Well, TJ, we got a lot more we want to talk to you about. So if you don't mind, stick around and we'll wrap things up with you and the show on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by the Holy Grail Banks, Budweiser, and UDF on the Reds Radio Network. Wrapping things up on the Reds Hot Stove League, we'll get back to TJ Antone in just a minute. But first, did you know about the Reds Rookies Baby Club? It's perfect for fans up to 3 years old. Whether it's a gift or your little one, the Reds Rookies Club has it all, including a diaper bag, clutch, and your choice between an organic cotton muslin blanket or Tervis sippy cup. Plus, members-only activities, tickets, and more. For additional information, visit reds.com/fan clubs, and we continue now with TJ Antone.
TJ, it was fun to watch you during your rookie season, and we made the comment earlier, and I've made it several times, that you look like you belonged from the get-go, that you felt like you belonged there. Did you have the same feeling, or were you kind of faking it? Did you have questions in your mind? Because it didn't look like you did. What were you most surprised about the successes that you had, and more importantly, what about the failures? What do you think you have to work on now that you've been through it?
Oh, I fully believe that I belong there. I think if you believe something and you attack it, and like say it's a goal or something in life and you attack it, I think you can fully manifest it. So, I from the beginning, I thought I was a big leaguer, and I want to pitch in the big leagues for 15 years. And I've always said that. So that's the goal. And, I'm going to make that happen. So, but in terms of successes and failures, I was really pleased with my swing and miss rate this year. I hadn't ever had that high a swing and miss rate, I don't think, in the minor leagues. I had a little flash of it and at the end of AAA when I kind of made an adjustment to a couple of my pitches, but I didn't know if that was sustainable through like a full season. And it wasn't a full season, but it was still more than two games like I had in AAA. So I was very pleased with some of the swing and miss metrics that I had on my pitches. And then going forward, in terms of like failures and stuff, there was a couple missed pitches, but I think it can all be kind of related back to command on the fastball and kind of just consistency with the fastball. There's a lot, like people don't see, they see velocity and stuff and when you're throwing it and they're like, oh, this guy's throwing hard or whatever, but there's a lot of spin metrics that that people don't see. And so in terms of that, I was working on some spin efficiency problems. I was kind of cutting off the ball a little bit, which was causing me to miss locations a lot. And so in my mind, I thought I was moving correctly to throw the strikes and throw the pitches where I was trying to throw them, but I was actually cutting it. So the ball wasn't moving as I was intending it to. So I'm working on that this off season to be more consistent there. And kind of get after that.
Sounds good. TJ, appreciate the time. That's all the time we have. Big thanks to TJ Antone, Art Warren, Jim Day. I'm Tommy Thrall. We'll catch you next week on the Reds Hot Stove League.